And now, get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Sade. Written by Paul Reimer and brought to you each weekday by the makers of Crisco. Well, sir, it's early evening as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook. Vic has been talking on the telephone the last quarter hour and has only just this moment replaced the receiver on the hook. And he seems upset. Listen.
He was patronizing, even condescending.
Ha-ha.
Maybe you have some literature on it you could drop in the mail and I'd find time to glance over, he said.
Oh.
Literature. Does he think we print advertisements?
I was afraid
he'd find time to glance over. How you like that?
I was afraid
Why, the big yap sounded like he thought there wasn't any more to obtaining membership in the Sacred Stars of the Milky Way than walking up and buying a ticket.
Did you bawl him out?
Huh?
You didn't holler at him.
I hardly opened my trap.
Oh, that's good. See, he doesn't realize.
I was stunned. Thunderstruck. Maybe you have some literature on the club you could drop in the mail and I might find time to glance over, he says.
I was afraid.
A club, he called it. A club, mind you. The Sacred Stars of the Milky Way, he called a club.
Fred just don't understand about such things, Vic.
I'll say he don't.
He's worked hard all his life.
That's no excuse. That's no excuse.
I was afraid this had come up.
Why?
Well, Rosie mentioned it the other day.
Yeah?
She said Fred's been talking about...
Yet he said the same thing he said a year or so ago.
What was that?
I don't know, but what I might let myself be talked into joining Vic's lodge.
Mm.
Is that what he said?
Just about that.
Our founder, R.J. Conk, ought to be turning over in his grave. I never heard anything so ignorant. Like that big fat head, the more I think about it, the madder I get. Here we have a great secret brotherhood, over 75 years old. A brotherhood of men chained tightly together with shackles of brightest gold. A brotherhood born in the highest concepts of honor, ambition, courage, progress, ideals, chivalry, art, and beauty.
You, Willie?
And some lame brain, Pipsqueak, allows that maybe he might let himself be talked into joining that brotherhood.
Evening, Freddy.
Well,
Why do I stand here? Why don't I go paste him one upside the snoot?
Here's Uncle Fletcher.
I've known all along Fred Stembottom was his nitwit, of course, but it's hard to realize the depths his ignorance actually reach.
Well, you home too, Vic.
Drop him some literature. I'll drop him some literature.
How are you, Uncle Fletcher?
First rate, thanks. Glorious evening.
Yes.
Fred's heard me talk about the lodge. Surely he must know it isn't anything a guy can just walk up and join.
Is that a fact, Vic? Well, like my landlady was saying at the supper table tonight...
He must know that you have to submit an application and then be voted on. That it's a process that takes weeks. And there's hard work to be done. Lessons to be learned.
No, I don't think he realizes that.
Hello, Uncle Fletcher.
Hello, Vic. Say, I stopped past Cully Morris's gas station on my way over
here. Why don't he realize it? I've talked about it enough times when he and Ruthie were playing cards with it.
You appreciate how Fred is, Vic. He listens to himself talk, but he don't pay much attention to anybody else.
Remember Ernie Sonkers there in Belvedere, Sadie?
Why, just the other evening, I must have palavered at least a quarter of an hour on the subject. I described how a class of lodge candidates in Ohio had half of their number to get blackballed. I told about three fellas that wanted to belong to the Sacred Stars of the Milky Way so much they wept when they got turned down. I remember amplifying the story. Went into details.
Where was Fred?
I guess he just wasn't paying attention.
Well, why wasn't he paying attention? I was the host. Ain't people supposed to listen to the host when he's talking?
Well.
I'm just finding out about that big ox.
Remember Ernie Sonkers there in Belvedere, Vic?
Why, when I wanted to belong to the Sacred Stars of the Milky Way, my application was turned down three separate and distinct times before they'd take me. There is a case on record of a chap in Missouri that tried fruitlessly for 20 years, and he never did make it. And Mr. Frederick Stembottom, the hotshot halfwit from the foundry, says maybe if I send him some literature, he might possibly let himself be talked into joining.
You people may laugh.
Let me get volume 7 out of my lodge library and see what it says on the matter.
Oh, gee, Vic, I wouldn't let myself get too upset.
No, not at all.
Can't you just charge it up to Fred's ignorance?
Sure.
And then forget it?
Let's see what volume 7 says.
Mm.
Remember Ernie Sonkers there in Belvedere, Sadie?
No, I don't, Uncle Fletcher.
Ernie Sonkers was accused of marrying a woman 35 years old.
Was he? Because, gee, it'd be too bad if somebody's silliness made us break up or anything.
How do you mean, break up or anything?
Well, we see so much of Fred and Ruthie, play so much cards and everything, you know. It'd be just awful if we...
You know in what esteem I hold my lodge, Sade. It's one of the biggest things in my life.
Yes, but
just
still...
a second, I'll read you a few revealing passages from Volume 7.
Mm-hmm. Ernie Salter, Sadie, was accused of marrying a woman 35 years old. He was accused wrong because the woman was 46. I knew the woman myself. She went under the name of Della Hushka.
Oh, really? Well, and another thing, please don't forget, is that...
Here
Fred...
we are. Listen.
Something in my tooth.
What?
I believe I've got something in my tooth. No, but all that off to one side, forgiven and forgotten. To finish this story about Ernie Saunders. He got disgusted with the whole works and washed his hands of it. I have been accused of marrying a woman 35 years old, he told the boys. That woman has produced a birth certificate proving her to be 46. My name is cleared. I can look any man in the face. But, says Ernie, I'm sick and tired of the whole business. I'm leaving town. And he did. Moved to Dallas, Arizona. Invented a product for darkening the hands and feet. Quit work to enjoy his money. Later died. Fine.
Want to listen to a little of this?
All right.
Membership in the Sacred Stars of the Milky Way is a precious amulet to be worn gloriously through life. Our founder, R.J. Conk, has said, in toto non cum laude approbuis gank, sim spittle ad nauseum agricola fish, omnia gareth est divisi in tres parties spinach yach dumb cocking
adder. Don't do any good to read that to me, Vic.
Huh?
Reading your book to me don't help the situation.
I popped some popcorn last night.
Did you, Uncle Fletcher?
H.K. Huckerman and myself.
Tastes good, did it?
Tastes fine.
That's nice.
Tasted so good by George, H.K. Huckerman and myself.
Uh-huh. Fred's been stupid and made you mad, and I can understand why, and don't blame you a bit. But it seems to me we ought to try...
Do you think you can join the Sacred Stars of the Milky Way just like you'd walk up to the ticket window and buy a ticket for the movie show?
Yes, he does think that.
It's taken me all this while to find out about that bird.
We've spent a good deal of time with Fred and Ruthie the last 7, 8 years, Vic.
Too much.
Hundreds of evenings.
Sam McWashjag, Ryan
and
Dixon.
And they've been pleasant evenings. Wouldn't it be too bad to end such a nice friendship just over something silly that's all Fred's fault and none of yours? Seems to me like you could afford to laugh.
I don't laugh with the lodge's concern, hey.
Sam McWashjag, Ryan Dixon, Sadie.
Yes, Uncle Fletcher, excuse me.
Sam McWashjag, Laren Dixon, used to claim he could play a cornet from the wrong end.
Oh?
Instead of holding the mouthpiece up to his mouth, he'd blow through the end that flares out where ordinarily the music comes from.
Well?
He just claimed that. I never saw the half-wit do it.
Yes, that's nice.
Uh-huh.
Very nice.
Yes, it is.
Couldn't you afford to laugh at Fred, Vic?
I don't laugh where the lodge is concerned.
I mean, under the circumstances...
But let me tell you what the halfwit said over the telephone.
You did tell me.
Rather, Dixon thought it caused a good deal of
I don't think you need to be worried about Fred's actually trying to join the lodge.
Sadie, another Dixon thought...
Because as soon as he realizes all the formality he has to go through, applications and votings and studyings and memorizing stuff and all that, he'll lose interest. I know he'll lose interest.
Sadie, another Dixon thought...
And then there's the money part. When he finds out what the initiation fee is, he'll stop right now. And he was telling Ruthie the other day, one thing he positively refused to do was wear a funny suit.
Funny suit?
Lodge regalia.
Oh, he told Ruthie that, did he?
Yeah.
Another excellent fellow
said he said he'd be willing to devote one evening a week to sitting around the club room and playing a game of checkers and maybe munching on salted peanuts. But he wouldn't be interested in putting on robes and bothering with any tiresome ceremonies. And so, you see, he's not really interested in the lodge.
Sadie, another...
You don't give beans for the lodge.
Sadie, another...
Well, why should you get upset? Can't you just forget it?
Sadie,
we'll go along just as we have been. Isn't that better? Sure, it's better.
Sadie.
Yes? Yes, Uncle Fletcher. What is it?
I believe I'll go home.